This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Reinvention Radio. Look at how loud you have me. See, now you have me laughing. Now you got me fucking. Yeah! Thank you. All right. How we doing? Awesome. Another day of Reinvention Radio here, which is, man, I got to tell you, this is the highlight of my week. I love this. As a matter of fact, I told my wife I'm leaving her for Reinvention Radio. So that's how much I love this.
You're pretty close to that mic.
I'm really close. You know what? Actually, this fortunately, it has a protective covering over it, which is needed in this studio. Oh, man. All right. So awesome. We got another edition here of Reinvention Radio. So welcome, everybody. And, of course, all of our new listeners who came on because Tom Mattson told them to. And thanks for bribing everybody for being on today, Tom.
I told you I'd get you three new listeners.
Dude, there were 640 calls. We could only take two. That was very impressive. So, Tom, thanks for sticking around. Here for the second hour, and man, Wade, I got to tell you, man, this is a party. See, we've turned Reinvention Radio into a party. See, it was used to be just me, and then we had Mary, and then you came in, and then Richard, and then Chuck, and now we got Tom, and we got Alan today. So that's what we're going to keep doing. Reinvention Radio is just a party where people come to party. That's our tagline right there. Okay, awesome. So Alan, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, thanks, Steve.
Good. And so I don't want to just like totally murder your name, but I assume it's just Bonk.
It is just Bonk.
All right, so
B-O-N-K, four easy letters.
Yeah. And any trouble in childhood with that name? Was that
a tad, and adulthood too,
in adulthood too, right? So with your Tinder account, are you still known as Alan Bonk on Tinder, or did you change that?
No, I changed it.
Yeah, you changed it, exactly, to keep the to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
Speaking of protecting the innocent, I got to tell you, we're going way too far as I'm concerned with this country. I'm glad this is a political year. I know we've been talking a little bit of politics, but I'm glad we're talking politics, bringing up, you know, some interesting issues. And of course, next year we'll have an election and no one will care about it because one person isn't going to make the difference anyway. But I think we've got a problem in this country. That's what I believe. And let me just kind of read you something. So I don't know if you guys heard this. I know you've all heard about the 14-year-old kid, right? The 14-year-old kid that made this clock and brought it to school. Did you hear that?
Last night, yeah.
I'll tell you a little bit about that. But it's just absolutely frightening. But it gets worse. A 13-year-old boy at Pikesville Middle School in Maryland allegedly grabbed a 14-year-old girl's shirt near her stomach and kissed her last week as part of a dare. Okay, so it's kid stuff, right? 14-year-old grabs a 13-year-old, you know, gives her a kiss, you know, BFD. But the consequences were pretty damn severe. They charged this eighth grader as a juvenile with second-degree assault.
Oh, my God.
With second-degree assault before they released him to his mother. So, I mean, he's not only facing disciplinary action from the school, but ostensibly criminal charges. What the hell is wrong? when did we get so darn, like, it's stupid. Not even like politically stupid. Correct anymore. It's just stupid. They're saying that basically this is a greater crime than you would get for having a small amount of marijuana. So in the same area, if you were booked, you had a small amount of marijuana, the charge that they put on the second degree assault actually carries more weight and more consequences than being caught with, in this case, illegal drugs. So, I mean, it's pretty damn scary. I know you molest 14-year-old girls, so you could probably speak to this.
Well, no, I'm just thinking back to childhood, and I'm just wondering.
you like the one Tom's working up
with. When we're playing tag. Okay, tag.
Is that what your kids call it now?
Yeah. But I'm just wondering, so is tag first, second, or third degree assault these days?
It depends on where you tag them, I think. So, yeah, Alan, where do you like to tag nowadays, right?
Yes. I'm staying out of this one.
You're staying out of this one? No, you're here. You can't stay out. You, by default, you've grabbed a microphone. You're fully part of this conversation.
But
that's like super, super scary to me because ultimately, when you think about God, I mean, what can't kids do and versus what can't? It's like we've gone the completely other way, like this whole Snapchatting thing, right? And this whole sexting and all that. I mean, you can send naked pictures to your buddies, but you can't, well, your opposite sex buddies or same sex buddies, I guess, depending on who you are.
But depends on the picture too.
But
I guess.
It depends on the picture. But
so I've been told.
But God forbid you play a game in the school, you know, park or whatever, and you kiss somebody on a dare, and you end up, I mean, in potentially in jail, which is or juvie hall or whatever, which is frightening.
Common sense not commonly applied.
Yeah, right? And
one of the challenges.
It is, and so just talking about that 14-year-old boy. So you know, I mean, look, the are we a biased society? Are we a racist society? Are we a prejudiced society? You know, the timing is a little bit interesting on this one, right? Because obviously we just had 9/11, so everybody's thinking back to the Bin Laden stuff and anti-Muslim and this, that, and the other. And this kid is Muslim. His name is Ahmed Mohammed, right? And this is September, right around September 11th. They brought him into police custody because he brought a homemade clock to school. Basically, he makes his own radios, he repairs his own go-karts. You know, he's a tinkerer, right? I mean, something that in past times we would applaud. We would say, how cool is that? I mean, this kid is making his own stuff. But they originally thought that the clock was a bomb when he brought it to school and thought it was a hoax bomb. So they literally handcuffed this kid. Like, they called the police in, handcuffed this kid. They eventually wrote an unapologetic letter basically saying that children are encouraged specifically to not bring items to school that are prohibitive, and this we are to assume includes science projects. So, you know, don't bring
and
a
clocks.
Science project.
We wouldn't want a clock in a school.
Yeah, exactly. So he wanted to bring the clock to show an engineering teacher his work, because this is the kind of school where they do fun stuff like that, and I mean,
he's proud.
He's
proud of
super
it.
Proud because it had a board, a digital display. It even had like a tiger hologram on the front. And, you know, I mean, it was like it was super cool. He was proud of it. He brings it into school and ultimately he gets arrested. And it's a sad thing. His father said, we just, you know, he just wants to invent good things for mankind. Right. But because his name is Muhammad and because of September 11th, I think my son got mistreated. You think? Yeah. Frightening.
Well, just to throw this in as an aside, a comedian years back, mixed race. So he's a brown skinned, you know, who cares, you know, what exactly the race is. Young guy, dreadlocks, you know, kind of camo clothes. And he's talking about all the heightened security after 9/11. He goes, I love it. Because now all of you are getting the scrutiny that I'm used to getting just from walking in the door.
Right.
How does it feel?
Yeah, I know. Frightening. But I don't know what we do here, because obviously we have to protect our children. When some fucking knucklehead starts shooting children at a school, mm-hmm. I mean, is the response appropriate? When, I mean, actually here in Carlsbad, just a couple of, maybe about 6-8 months ago, one of the kids who didn't want to take a test called in and said, there's a bomb at the school. Of course, they evacuated the school, and he didn't have to take his test, but they figured out who it was. They arrested him, and you gotta be careful, but at the same token, I mean, it's like, where do we draw the line? That's what I'm concerned about, is I just think the line keeps moving farther and further and further, and I don't know. I don't know what the solutions are, but I know that it's frightening. If a kid is a tinker, I mean, fortunately, there's a good end to the story, right, and there's some good things that have come out of this. Mark Zuckerberg, the... who is that guy? I think he's got an online site. What's it called? Yeah. It's
could be like Twitter, but different.
That's the one. Exactly. The Twitter, I think, is what it's called.
Yeah, Head Magazine.
Head Magazine.
Or something like that.
So Zuckerberg and the CEO of Apple, who I think is Tim Cook now, right?
Yeah.
That's a new guy. By the way, talk about problems to have. I just read they had like $60 billion in cash.
Cash, yeah.
You know, and so that's a whole
stressful.
Other...
It's stressful.
And you wrote a book about stress, didn't you, Tom?
That's right.
Yeah, it's How to Make $60 Billion with Half the Stress, I think is the title
exactly.
of the book. And it features...
Repatriate your cash from Ireland, you bastards.
Yeah, features Tim Cook. But anyway, Zuckerberg and both Tim Cook invited him to come into their facilities and take them under their wing and
that sort of
thing. And so maybe he'll get an apprenticeship or an internship or whatever it might be out of that. And, you know, if I'm the kid, I'm saying, fuck the internship or the apprenticeship. Just give me some stock. You know, I'm like, you can keep the apprenticeship. I already know what I'm doing. Dude, did you see what I built? I built a clock with a tiger hologram. I don't need the internship. What I need is some of that stock.
iPhone 8, the tiger hologram.
The tiger hologram, exactly. Yeah, so anyway, a little bit frightening. And but fortunately, you know, you spoke of this comedian and how he's now, you know, feeling comfortable because everybody else is getting scrutinized.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, exposing the prejudice. You know, and
brings it to light, doesn't it?
Yeah, brings it to light. And so, just a quick comment about the kid. Zuckerberg, Tim Cook at Apple, other famous people, the president invited him to the White House.
Right, I saw that. He just got an invitation to the White House.
And they asked him what the coolest thing was, and he goes, I get to go to MIT. There's an engineer for you.
Right, I get to go to MIT. All right, very cool. So, all right, we got Alan Bong in the house today, and we're going to be talking about reinventing business golf. But, Alan, kind of give us a little preview of what we're going to be going over here today on Reinvention Radio.
Well, we're
going
to talk about why business golf is an art and a practice that hasn't been really exploited the way that it can be.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about taking a client out on the golf course is people think it's a way to do pitching, a way to sell them something.
Literally pitching. Yeah. They actually have a club with a P
on it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it isn't that. It's about building incredibly high trust relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the core of why you're out there. And if you understand why you're out there, the dynamics of how you behave out there suddenly change.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go through a couple of the myths. Shatter some myths about business golf and what people think it is.
Sweet.
And their perspective, and we'll talk about what it really is.
Awesome. And we've got two of the best radio voices in the world in studio today. Just how cool is that? All right, we'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What? Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And again, a full house here of the men, right? We got Alan Bonk, we got Tom Madsen. Rich is standing back there periscoping again. So what is up, periscoping land? And eventually I want to find out like how we can do this live. We're going to live stream this other than Periscope somehow. We're going to figure out how to do like a blab out of this. There's got to be a blab play here, right, Rich? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Exactly. And we got wait, no. All right. Very cool. So before the break, we were talking about reinventing business golf. And I got to tell you, I'm a hack. I am a hack. I will get it around, and the course will be. Matter of fact, I will put it to you this way. You know the earthquakes that you feel here in Southern California? Those aren't actual earthquakes. That's the course shaking like out of fear when I step up to the tee. So anytime you feel an earthquake from now on, just know that it's not actually an earthquake per se. It is the golf course that I'm about to play on shaking in fear.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. And you're here, and you haven't played Aviara. You haven't played La Costa. What's Tom? Can you tell this guy to like? Why you got you came in from Palm Springs, which is cool. So thanks for making that 2-hour drive. And I can see you don't believe in sunscreen, which is cool because I also don't believe in sunscreen. You do get redder. So if we make you laugh, get redder. There we go. Yeah. That's it. What shade do you call that, Wade? Exactly.
It's a good thing this is radio.
Magenta. I'm thinking it's kind of.
I'm going with scarlet.
Scarlet. I can see scarlet. Absolutely.
Scarlet Allen.
All right. So you're living testament, living proof that you can play golf, not wear a hat, not wear sunscreen, and still survive. So obviously you can play and not get killed. What's the power of business golf? I mean, you've been doing it for 30-something years. Tell me a little bit about why business golf?
Well, I started out quite by accident. I spent a number of years, over a decade, with Motorola, a small company you may have heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking clients out on the golf course because everybody else was. And I didn't know how to play golf.
So you played Kemper.
Played Kemper, yeah.
Yeah, you had to play Kemper if you were out there. What else did you like playing in the Chicago area? You played Butler?
Played Dubs Dread.
Oh, sure. Did some Cog Hill, Dubs Dread. Did you play Butler?
No, didn't play Butler.
Okay.
No, and
we digress.
And didn't really even do
Although we are talking golf. So
in Chicago much. Did it up in Canada, which is where I live, when, you know, based out of my office in Calgary at the time, Alberta. And it was just taking clients out. I thought, you know, hey, it's a much more fun way to get to know somebody than inviting them out for lunch or inviting them over to the office to watch a PowerPoint presentation,
mm-hmm.
right? It was all about just connecting and building those relationships. And I got to see firsthand how powerful it was, because in 5 hours, let's say a round of golf is about 5 hours.
Yeah, I don't know where you play, but if you can get through a round of golf in 5 hours, you're doing pretty good.
But you get to know somebody at a level that you just can't going for lunch.
You get to see a lot of emotion. I'll tell you you learn a hell of a lot about a person when you play golf. I mean, when you see the guy who flips the clubs and he starts swearing and breaking down and, you know, just like
every
losing it.
You can imagine.
You know that's the guy you want on your sales team right there.
Totally.
That's the guy you want to lead your sales force.
For sure.
So, as a syndicator.
So golf reveals character very quickly and in a way that nothing else can.
Yeah.
You go through all these emotions. You can experience, you know, utter joy and heroic feelings and total devastation all in one hole.
Mm-hmm.
All in one swing, if you're like me.
Yeah. Or in Rich's case, all in one hole. I think you had it right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's got a way of not only revealing who that person is, but aside from that part, in understanding their character and them watching you too, because you know, it goes both ways. You don't just get to watch the other person. They get to see you, too,
mm-hmm.
in action. And that's where that connection, that bond happens. So golf in that five-hour period, you don't just talk about business. In fact, I coach and recommend that you leave business out of the equation and just focus on getting to know the person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you find mm-hmm. out that their kids are into hockey and collect hockey cards. So you find out that, you know, their spouse is, involved in the PTA or, you know, whatever their hobbies or interests or where they're
Or that their Ashley Madison profile got, put out on the net.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Tom, have you recovered from that, by the way? Are you okay now?
I'm really good.
Yeah,
it's not
better.
Tom anymore. It's Mott.
Exactly. All good.
Since they published it as Mott, I might as well own it.
Wait. All right. So, Alan, let me ask you this then. So is it here's what I'm trying to understand. If you're looking at it from the perspective of golf being a tool with which to get to know your clients and, you know, spend some time with them, is this your primary business? Or do you make money in this whole, like, business golf arena? Is that your business, or do you have another business that you use golf as the tool with which to drive business into whatever that entity is?
This is the focus. This is my focus. I've created a whole program around business golf and understanding the etiquette and the behaviors and the do's and don'ts of being out on the golf course with a client. But the reason that I feel it's such a strong opportunity to get to know somebody is people that use it, and if your business is relationship-based and not widget-based, so you're not just selling schlock,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're actually wanting to build relationships with your customers, it is absolutely the most powerful and the fastest way to do that.
All right, so give us an example of a time when one of your clients or even you perhaps were on the course and you were able to close the deal, your client was able to close the deal. What did that look like? What did that sound like? How did that happen?
Well, for me, in the environment I was in, it wasn't about closing deals. The sales cycle on the projects that I worked on were large communications networks that police, fire, EMS would use.
Mm.
And so those were long sales cycles, sometimes 2-3 years.
Wow. Okay.
So those relationships mattered.
Yeah.
And I've got, I'm just coming out with a book that I'm just about finished called Zero to Trust in 18 Holes. And in that book, I describe a project that I work on very specifically with lots of details about how I was able to basically knock off the incumbent communications provider in the province that I was in, government-owned telco. And it only happened because of the relationships that I had built out. I had chief of police winking to me in sales presentations with all of the vendors present. winking to me.
Yeah.
Because
isn't it a matter of trying to understand like what people's currency is, right? I mean, because ultimately people have their currency.
Sure.
Right? I mean, like for Rich's massage parlors and for Wade, it, you know, Wade, you're too sound. Okay. So, but you know, everybody has their currency. So seldom do people have the opportunity. I mean, you know how it is, man. I mean, Tom, you can attest to this, to take a full day and to just golf, because when you come right down to it, I mean, it's a full day. You're going to get up at, you know, whatever time, drive there. You're going to warm up. You're going to play your round. You're going to do 18 hours at the 19th hole and, you know, all of those things. I mean, it's a full day. So for someone then to be able to, I don't want to say use it as an excuse, but it's a good reason to get out and play. And maybe they don't get out to play very much. If you invite them, you pay for it, you get to write it off as a business expense, they get to look at it as sort of a R&D meeting, that sort of thing. So for somebody who likes to golf, you know, you're really giving them the gift of not only being out there on the course, but you're also giving them the gift of time, of being away from what they normally do. And so I think there's that element of the equation as well, no?
Yeah, and you're on neutral ground, which is very unusual in the business world because we're always used to sitting across tables or desks.
Right, you're fired, by the way.
Right, thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Like this very intimidating environment in the studio.
Yeah.
And, if we could just loosen up a bit.
And so you're on neutral ground, and that gives you a distinct advantage in terms of being able to get that person to open up.
Mm-hmm.
So you really do get into the personal stuff as opposed to, you know, if you're sitting at your desk and I'm the intruder, I'm the visitor, and I'm sitting, you're in a position of power over me, right? And you have that authority, you have that power, and it's unspoken and unseen, but it's there, it's present. So it puts you in a defensive, inferior position, whereas the golf course, you're sitting beside each other in the golf cart.
The other thing that's really cool for me, Steve, you mentioned your hack. I started doing business golf when I would shoot 140 playing double par pickup.
All right, let me clarify. I'm not that fucking bad.
Yes,
okay, I mean,
exactly.
Like, so I'm a bogey golfer.
I started doing business called literally double par pickup, 142 mathematical highest possible score. 140 was the round I shot. Now I will admit that first round was Pebble Beach. It was a tough setup.
That's where you lost your virginity, on Pebble Beach.
I know. Can you believe it? My first business golf round was there.
Wow.
We raised $100,000 from the investor who played with us.
Wow.
But here is the cool part. If you follow a few simple things that I had learned, fortunately, from Alan, which is pace of play matters, and you can actually be lousy and have pace of play.
So it's possible. So you played lousy quickly.
Yes.
Good.
Absolutely. And you followed good etiquette, so you weren't walking in their line doing some stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get incredible results when you're a lousy golfer because it's about building trust. It's not about showing off your game.
And doesn't the golfer who actually thinks they know what they're doing, right? I mean, that's just sort of the natural thing, right? It's like everybody, I think inherently we're all teachers, right? I mean, some of us actually choose to honor that and teach, but others, you know, don't. But whatever. Forget about those guys. But I think inherently, if you have a game where it's halfway decent and you're better than the guy you're playing with or gal you're playing with, at some point along the way, you're probably going to step up and you're going to say, you know, man, you might want to put the left hand on the top and the right hand on the bottom. So it just becomes an interactive.
Did you send clips to him, Wade? Yeah, I told you not to send footage.
I have a whole chapter on that, Steve. And one of the things that I very much am a proponent of is not giving advice on the golf course to a client, because that's totally the wrong place.
I was thinking about it the other way around.
They say, yeah, they say, well, who's ever the better golfer, it doesn't matter. The golf course is not the place, because if they're doing something wrong and they say, you know, jeepers, what am I doing wrong? It's a rhetorical statement. They're not really asking for advice for the most part. But if you say something to change what they're doing, and they start now suddenly, instead of hooking the ball, they're slicing it off into the trees, who are they going to blame for that?
Yeah.
They're going to blame you.
Yeah. So keep your advice to yourself, basically, when you're on the course. Okay.
Do it on the range.
Okay. I got you. All right. So, look, lots more to talk about here with Alan Bonk. And I got to tell you, man, it's just like that. That is, we had Dave Pounder on not too long ago, which was like the best porn name ever. You know, did you hear that one with Dave Pounder? No. But Alan Bonk is definitely a close second, man. So, more with Alan Bonk here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio, and Siri's with us as well today. I don't know if you guys missed this earlier or not, but I'll do it one more time. Siri, what's my name?
You're Steve, but you asked me to call you badass motherfucker.
Exactly. All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio, and with Siri, my co-host, because Mary's not here, and if Mary's not here... We in Google it.
Badass motherfucker. Bamf.
Exactly. That's where you guys are from, right?
No. Well, no, we visited Bamf.
You visited
Bamf. Canadians.
Exactly.
It's like the law. We have to visit Bamf.
Technically, that's like where all the Shakespeareans go to die, right? That's the, that's that city there. Yeah, exactly. All right, sweet. So, Officer Bonk, right? So, like in a past life, I didn't even know this. So, I got to be on my best behavior because, like,
you do.
Yeah,
you can take you down.
All right, so check it out. You worked in the Leather Ranch.
Yes. I'm so proud of it, Steve. It was awesome.
Wade revealed that he used to work in an adult bookstore.
Yeah, late at
and
night.
And Alan's got his handcuffs. And Rich has got a hole in one, so we're good.
Who says there's not a guy?
Oh, man, right? So we got it all covered here. All bueno. Exactly. Syndication, yeah, it's not going to happen. Okay. All right. So, Alan, talk to us first of all about a past life here because, I mean, literally, people are probably sitting there wondering, like, how did you get into this? Where did this all come from? Give us a little backstory.
Well, it came from the Motorola days. I didn't even start golfing until late in my life and early in my business career, corporate career. And it was Motorola for 11 years. I did a ton of business golf, and I attribute more than $35 million in revenue in that time period directly to relationships that I built on the golf course. Wouldn't have happened, absolutely 100% wouldn't have happened without that.
Yeah.
So I was a huge, huge fan, and I began to realize myself, because I was just doing it because everybody else was, not realizing the power behind it, and I made a ton of mistakes out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember one time being on a green with a staff sergeant who was in charge of one of the projects I was working with and I had already putted out, which is fine, but once I was done, I went over and putted to yesterday's practice hole or yesterday's hole on the green, and he hadn't finished putting yet. So I'm, putting away, and you know how you can feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck sometimes? Somebody's
yeah.
staring at you.
Yeah.
So I turn around and he goes, "Are you finished?
Right?
Yeah. Are you finished?" And thankfully I had a relationship with him. But if I hadn't have had that relationship with him, probably would have kicked me to the curb because that was a dumb thing to do. I wasn't present. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't engaged with him. Right. So
yeah. So it occurs to me a couple of different things. Number one, you watch The Simpsons, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Occasionally. So what's the best line that Homer ever had about golf in a Simpsons episode? Come on, you got to know it. You know it. Rich, you know it. What did Homer say when he was playing with Monty Burns? Come on. Anybody? Anybody?
I'm sorry. I was talking.
Oh, all right. Nobody. All right.
Blank.
Tom, you got it? No?
No, I don't
all
do
right.
Simpsons.
So Homer's, obviously he's a hack and whatnot. Anyways, out playing with Monty Burns. And he's in the sand, right? And he's just kind of like hacking away and whatever. And he's like, "Damn it, man. Use an open face club sandwich." And Homer, of course, is thinking, "Ooh. Open face
sandwich.
Club sandwich." Right? It's like great. Which actually reminds me of a joke. And it's a golf joke, so I think you'll actually appreciate this. And maybe you've heard it, but if not, I'm about to ruin your life. So St. Peter and Jesus are playing golf. True story, actually. I heard this straight from the source. So St. Peter and Jesus are playing golf. And St. Peter goes up, par 3, maybe about 170 yards, something like that. Takes out a 5-iron, knocks it within about 2 feet of the hole. Bang. Perfect shot. Looks back at Jesus, gives him a little wink. You know, go on, buddy. Top that, right? So Jesus comes up. He doesn't hit quite as far as St. Peter, so he's actually got a four iron, right? So comes up, takes his four iron, bam, hits it, slices it straight off into the woods. So it's slicing about 70 yards off, right? Just, and St. Peter kind of looks at him and, you know, chuckling a little bit. But just then, an eagle flies from miles away, swoops down, grabs the ball, takes the ball, lifts it up, drops it on the green. A squirrel runs out from the forest, whacks the ball with its tail, puts it about 2 inches from the hole. A mouse from the other side runs out, uses his little nose, pushes the ball in the hole. Jesus looks back at St. Peter and gives him a wink. St. Peter says to Jesus, "Jesus, quit fucking around." So, yeah, exactly. That's the best golf joke I got. I got nothing else. That's about it. I got to chuckle out of Wade. That's good. That's progress. All right, yeah, a little bit of a smile. All right, so let's talk a couple questions that I have for you. So, first of all, I know you have a stance, and I know you're a hardline guy. I get that, right? It's just it's your way or the highway, right? So, technically, here, we're going to take what you say from this point forward, and it will be gospel. So, do you walk or do you ride?
You ride.
You ride.
Every
Why?
Every single time. Well, the challenge with the way golf typically happens is, you know, if you're with a client and there's two of you playing, one of you will be on the right side of the fairway inevitably, and the other one will be left side or in the bush. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you walk off the tee box, you're separated. You don't get to communicate. You don't get to talk. You're basically separated and apart from tee to green. You get back to the green. Now you're putting. You're busy doing that. So the conversation never really gets to evolve. You really want to be in a golf cart. And I can't stress that enough. If you're serious about getting to know your client, regardless of your preference in mm-hmm. playing the game, because a lot of people just love to walk, and that's great, but do it another time. Do it with your buddies, do it with somebody else, but not with a client, because mm-hmm. you're just not going to get to know them.
And do you take them out on, like, because I mean, here's a perfect example, right? I mean, we're in, well, you probably don't know this, but in this area there are courses like the GOAT, right? Rich, you ever played the GOAT? You play the GOAT. Okay, so the GOAT's like a, you know, kind of a public municipal kind of course. I mean, maybe $22 or whatever it might be. And then you've got La Costa, you know, or you can go further down and you got Torrey Pines, right? If you play Torrey, no?
Not yet.
You guys haven't played La Costa, Aviara, or Torrey? Oh, man, you got to come back. We're going to do that circle. We'll do that. And actually, it will be on you because I will be your client and you're going to be, technically trying to impress me.
We will do that, and you'll have to bring, you know, White Mike along or something to really get us working.
Yeah, White Wade. Yeah, Mike already retired. So, all right, so do you play the expensive courses? Do you play the mid courses? Do you play the cheapies? I mean, like, what does each type of course say about you and say about that relationship and what you're trying to do?
Well, that's a great question.
Well, thank you.
And you're welcome. And
you got one.
You do this for a living,
hey,
right?
You know what? In an hour, I got one. It's good.
We're syndicating you, man. Yeah. Coast to coast.
What I recommend is you play a course that's conducive to the image that you want to portray and relay. Don't go over the top, because the very expensive courses can be rather stuffy. And so you don't get to really, loosen up and have fun out there. There's just too many.
But like with this telco stuff, I mean, if you're trying to get like $100 million deal, right? I mean, is it commensurate with
lived, we didn't have uber high-end courses, so it wasn't a problem. But I wouldn't I wouldn't go to Riviera or to Pebble Beach, for example, with mm-hmm. a client. I just wouldn't do that. That's mm-hmm. way over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned over the years is that there are very few really good golfers out there. Most people are just sort of weekend packs, right?
And they go, and those are the fun. Guys. Those are the guys who will tell you, "Let's play the chips."
Mm-hmm.
Those, yeah. they're yeah, like, yes, "Yeah, let's too.
At Torrey Pines."
Torrey Pines, exactly. We are going to use every inch of this course, and like literally, they do back and forth, right to left. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Alan actually teaches in his program course ratings, to look at course ratings,
mm-hmm.
which I don't even know what they meant.
I don't know what that means either.
All I just know is there's a number, and above a number, it's really tough.
So
have
like,
fun
so it's like that 73.9 thing. Is it that?
That's the
what
course
is that?
Rating. That's the course rating. That means that it would take an average pro 73.2 strokes to get around the golf course. So that means it's a difficult course, because that's 1.2 strokes over par normally.
Mm-hmm.
The slope rating is what amateurs would look at. and that's a point system, and that's what I recommend players check. Slope ratings will vary anywhere from, say, 115 to as high as 145, 150.
So what's the difference?
So, I mean, the higher the points, the more difficult the course.
Oh, so you want a lower slope.
Yeah, number. So what I recommend is a range between 115 and 125 to just go out and have fun and not be looking for balls all the time. Because if your balls are in the water or in the woods, you know, on every shot or every second shot, that's not fun.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
You want a wide open, generous fairway without a whole lot of trouble so you can just go out there and enjoy and get
unless
to know
each other. Unless you're from Titleist, I guess, because they sell a lot of balls.
And they are here, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but actually, even when we played putt-putt, like, Wade brought one sleeve of balls. I don't know how you did this playing putt-putt, man, but somehow you went through the entire sleeve of balls playing putt-putt. And I'm still not sure how that happened.
It's called a slice.
It's called a slice.
Well, slice.
Yeah, all right, so on the slope and on the course rating, the lower number is what you want to look for.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Bueno. All right. So beer, hot dog, do you drink while you play? Do you do something on the turn? What's your take on that?
Well, that's an interesting question as well. And
well, fortunately, you fed that question to me. So
did I feed that to you?
You did, absolutely.
Oh,
you fed and you made me drink
it. What I recommend is a lot of people will say mirror your client. So do whatever they do. And my response to that is, well, if they're smoking doobies on the golf course, is that something you should be doing too?
Yeah, well, if so, that's who I should be playing with. I mean, you don't want to take that
you
guy.
You really
out,
wanted
let me know.
To set that up with
Steve.
Yeah,
I did. I knew he was going
to
take it.
To the show? Yeah.
I knew he was going to take it.
Have you seen the bike he rode it on?
So
no sissy bar.
I recommend that you just leave the alcohol off the table for the round of golf. If you want to have a drink at the, you know, the turn at, or sorry, at the 19th hole, then go for it. But don't get into drinking on the golf course, because it's going to fog your mind to the point where you might miss some subtle body language or some cues or some words even, right? And never mind having to deal with driving home. If you know, you need to be responsible for your client as well. If you see them drinking, then you need to make sure that you're taking care of that on the back end.
Yeah, and I tell you, I got a dramatic story that happened to me. Whenever you say this, it's just, I get the heebie-jeebies about this. I was in Dubai building relationships with a master franchise owner that we had sold the rights to the Middle East with. And we're playing golf on a lit golf course at night, because in the desert you don't golf in the day.
Right.
Dubai, it's way too warm.
Yeah.
And it was this.
Goes back to sort of that fire walking story,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like
exactly.
Literally, the former or the latter,
yeah.
Either way. Wait, you got to hold that story, though. I want to hear about this Dubai story, and I want to actually talk about a couple other things related to golf that I think you guys will appreciate. So more with Alan Bonk here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And just a quick little reminder here. We just put up a phone number. So if you got any comments on the past shows, in other words, if you're listening to the podcast right now, because we are live, but if you're listening to the podcast, if you have any comments about past shows or if you have questions for future shows, you can give us a call at 1-844-MR-BOLD-1. So that's 844-MR-BOLD-1, and you'll leave a message there on the Reinvention Radio mailbox. We'd love to hear from you. And for those who have subscribed on iTunes or Stitcher and left ratings and reviews, big, huge thank yous for that. And also, make sure that you check out all of the past episodes at reinventionradio.com. Now, before the break, we were talking about Dubai, right? The Burj. Did you play underneath the Burj Dubai? By the way, that's a place I have to get to. When were you there?
It's stunning. I've been there several times now over the last 12 years.
Nice.
And, yeah, golf there is amazing, number one. The Burj Al Arab is, like, stunning. 7-star hotel. They actually created a separate category of stars for that hotel.
Is there a 6-star hotel?
Yep. And it was created by the same people that built the 7-star one. And that's it. There's 3 of them in the world, 2, 6, 1, 7, and all the rest are 5 and down. Anyhow, sidebar.
Yeah, so forget about reinventing business golf, Alan. We've got to reinvent the oil sheik. Figure out how to become an oil sheik. Yes.
Jeremy DeMerchant, the strategy selling guru, and I are planning to do something in Dubai just to expense the whole thing to Dubai.
Done.
Maybe we now have a panelist.
Done.
Come
I'm
with
there.
It. Awesome.
Count me in. Punch.
Yeah. Done.
Fish
done.
And by the way, wait, don't forget about your joke. You got to tell the joke. Definitely want to hear it. All right, so Dubai.
Playing golf at night in a fantastic setting with a guy that just invested $100,000 to buy a master franchise. And I had beer then. I didn't understand. I was like, oh, I'm so thirsty. And I had a beer. And we were just messing around.
I was so thirsty.
It was a silly thing, but the guy was putting out. And the guy that I was there with, before he putted, I took the putter and drove it in the turf. I'm so sorry to tell you this, Alan. You may not know this story. I drove it in the turf to actually make his ball not be able to go in the hole. And from that moment
on... Wait, was this before or after he wrote the check?
After. But from that moment on, I was an absolute freaking idiot in his mind, and nothing changed for several years.
Right?
Nothing changed. It didn't matter what I did to help serve and support him after that. I was an idiot. And you know what? Looking back, I really was.
You know,
one beer,
but it's playful, right? So I mean, there's a fine line between just being playful and goofy, and we're all just big kids.
Yeah,
you know?
But when you're building relationships with clients, playful can be later on in the hot tub.
All right, which we've done also. So thanks for that, Tom, by the way, which is where we met. I think we actually met in the bathhouse, correct?
How did you know
that? Yeah, that's what I remember. And thanks for the pearl necklace. I appreciate that. But Alan, so, I mean, playful, not playful, do you leave that at home? Can you be playful in that environment?
Yeah, the whole idea is to have fun, right? You know, just be yourself. But don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
Right?
Thanks.
Don't do damage to the golf course.
Yeah, so you need better instructions, evidently. Yeah.
And don't offend.
This is pre-Alan.
Don't offend your clients. So you're going to get to know. That's part of why you're there, is to get to figure out who is this person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you don't want to be, you know, taking the Lord's name in vain if they're a Christian or if they're, you know, very devoutly religious,
sure.
That kind of thing. Really important to figure that out before you start behaving sort of... You know,
so the joke I told about Jesus and St. Peter, do you tell that with your clients or do you leave that off the course?
I would leave that one off the course.
Leave that for radio.
Yeah.
Right. What if we change it to like Muhammad and something else? Would that, especially if we're in Dubai?
You're going to offend somebody. With that.
Dubai, so, yeah. So we're in Dubai. We're going to change it to Muhammad and something.
I'll let you tell that joke from the stage and I'll visit you in jail. I promise.
I don't think it'll be jail. You'll be visiting me like in pieces. Like, yeah, exactly. So definitely... Keep the jokes for off of the course.
Well,
okay,
jokes are great, but just keep them clean.
Just keep them clean.
Yeah.
Do I have... Wade, you've got a clean joke. You were actually going to tell that joke. What is that joke? Do tell.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily appropriate.
Did you just say gosh?
Yeah.
Are you going to say golly next?
Golly gee willikers. Okay, I'll make this quick.
Please.
For the sake of time.
We're done today. Thanks very much for tuning in.
A maid goes to the lady of the house, requests a raise. The lady of the house says, well, why do you deserve that? The maid goes, well, to be frank with you, your husband tells me I clean house better than you. And the lady of the house harumphs. And the maid goes, well, and as a matter of fact, your husband tells me that I cook better than you. And the lady of the house harumphs, is getting a little agitated. And the maid goes, as a matter of fact, I've been told I'm better in bed than you. And the lady of the house goes, my husband told you that? And the maid says, well, I know, the chauffeur did.
Oh.
And the lady of the house goes, is 25% enough? So would that be appropriate for the golf course?
Yeah, we got to. How are we doing?
Look at his face. Look at his face. Not a chance.
Yeah, we got.
Redness tells all.
We went back to scarlet. Yeah. All right, so, and Lord knows we're going to go off on like about 38 tangents before the end of the show here, Alan, which we tend to do on this. So you've got a gift, though, something you wanted to give away to the listeners, correct?
Yeah, we do. We have... if they just go to businessgolfbootcamp.com/radio, there's a free report there that will lead them to a webinar that we're going to offer around how to double your sales and triple the golf you play. Very fun webinar. They're going to love it. So it's our gift to you. It normally sells for $297, but we're going to give it away just because they're your audience, Steve.
Yeah. Does it normally sell for $297 in Canadian dollars? Because technically that's about $3.
Yeah.
So, American real money.
Okay, real money. So real money. Yeah. Okay.
Real money.
Yeah. Are we talking? What do they call the English money? Is platinum or silver? But no, I know sterling. They call it a sterling. That's sterling. I know it was some metal. Yeah,
sterling.
Wow. Parlin sterling. Exactly.
That's a well-informed American.
You know, I mean, I got to tell you, I travel and
I'm bilingual. I speak both American and Canadian. It's a gift. It's a gift.
Well played.
Yeah, shall we talk about the loons?
That's right. The loonies.
Loonies.
No chocolate inside them.
That's Canadian money.
Yeah, I'm Molson is about all I know. That's the only word in Canadian I actually know, other than hockey, because I think hockey is originally a Canadian word. Okay, so, all right, check it out. So you guys are here. You're in San Diego. If somebody said to you, look, I've got a client. I want to take him out. Where would you tell him to play in this area? From what you know about the courses, where would you tell him to play? And then let's talk about Palm Springs, because I know that's where you guys are from, too. So just give us a couple of examples, perhaps, of courses here in San Diego, in this area, that would be appropriate to take a client. And then for those who are listening, which basically will be you guys when you go home, in the Palm Springs area.
I don't know the courses here, Steve, honestly. So my best advice, though, is to use that range of the slope rating of 115 to 125. Mm-hmm. So just look around. Every golf course on their website will have their scorecard and their published slope and course ratings. So look at the slope rating and say, 121. Yeah, that looks like a great place to play. And then make sure that it's sort of mid-range, not upscale and not a muni, right? Sort of mid-range. And
unless you want Molson.
Make your assessment based on that. And then call them and make sure they're not doing any course maintenance. Because one of the big foibles is you book around only to find out that they punched the greens yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? So you're, you know, five putting every green. So
you end up behind, like, the ladies' league.
Yeah,
you
know, that. Like, yeah, totally.
Talk about a five-hour round.
Yeah.
Don't end up behind the ladies' league. I mean, ladies, I love you, but you don't play the game very fast. I've been behind the league before, and it's not where you want to be. So just clarify the schedule and make sure that it's open.
Okay. And one other tip I would throw in, just because when Alan taught me this, I didn't know until later, and I'm like, the ratings are based on what tees you're playing from. So make sure if you're playing from the white tees, which is where I end up doing because it's more comfortable for most golfers, not the blues, not the tips.
Yeah.
We were joking about earlier. From the white tees. Look at those ratings from the white tees.
Gotcha. All right. So before we wrap here, one more question. I know we were talking about the hot dogs on the turn and the beers and whatnot. And my question then is at the end of the round, right? The 19th hole, everybody talks about it. I know you say you kind of follow suit of what the client is doing, but at some point, don't they want to see that you're your own person, you make your own choices, you know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
So what do you do at the 19th hole?
Again, just use your best judgment. If you're going to have a drink, there's nothing wrong with that, but I wouldn't overdo it to the point where you have to worry about, you know, calling a cab.
So asking for a glass of Everclear is out of the question.
Right.
Okay.
I would say. Yeah.
Shooter.
So, yeah, absolutely. Just be social and enjoy a beverage with your guest and have fun. But just, you know, do it in moderation.
Right. Awesome. So how do people find out more information about you? Where do you recommend they go?
I would send them to businessgolfbootcamp.com. The website is there. The contact information is there. And there's enough information there that they'll get an idea of really what we do and what we're about. And they just have to reach out.
And again, the extension. So what's the domain again for the free gift?
businessgolfbootcamp.com/radio.
/radio. Okay, awesome. Well, it's been fun, boys, playing today with Tom Mattson. Thanks for sticking around for the second hour. And Alan Bonk and White Wade. Appreciate your time and running the board there, as always. And Dick Ote, thank you for that, man. Really appreciate you hanging out. And we will talk to you guys on the next episode of Reinvention Radio.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.